Beauty is as beauty does. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Beauty is as beauty does. Now, so many people in this life get flibbergibbed and flabbergasted and all messed up when they look at other people. Like when a boy looks at a girl, he gets all shook up that she is so charming and so wonderful, and he wonders if he's worthy of her, and he'd like to, you know, talk to her. And then there are girls who look at boys, and they say, yep, that's a good guy. I'd like to get to know him. And they're not allowed by society's ways of doing things to go and say to the boy, hey, what you doing tonight? I'd like to have a date. You got a date? He says, oh, you want to go to bed with him? And she says, no. But that's in her mind. See, that's in her mind. Now, if she doesn't have this in her mind, he won't either. So she says to the boy, hey, want to go out tonight? Sure. Hey, I never thought I'd get a chance to go out with you. You're special. That's true, but would you like to go out tonight? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go? Well, let's go to the opera. Opera? Ooh-wee. You have good taste. I haven't been to the opera since last month. Okay, sure. Which one are we going to? He doesn't care. He's going with her. And she says, oh, we'll go see Don Juan DeMarco, you know. And he says, oh, I hear that's very good. A little bit racy, but very good. And she says, it's the quality that I'm interested in, not that little raciness here and there. I just ignore those things. He says, well, I do too. She says, I know, because I understand you. And then he says, how did you get the courage to come up and ask me to go for a date? And she says, same way you get the courage to come up and ask me for a date. Well, for when I come up and ask you for a date, I've gone over that in my mind 6 or 8 times before I did it, and then I came up, and she said, I did the same thing. Well, girls just don't normally go up and ask a boy for a date. Well, I'm not an ordinary girl. Well, that's for sure. I'm not the type of girl that lets anyone else decide what is right or wrong for me except myself. Yeah. And I know my values and my principles, and I live up to them, and I only associate with people who are harmonious with my values and principles. Well, how do you know I'm harmonious with your values and principles? Because the first second that you aren't, you're old news, you know, you're out of the picture. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I can't make a mistake. You can make a mistake, but you got to learn by it, you know. And if you are indiscreet with me, and I tell you that is not acceptable, and you persist, your history, you know. And if I tell you that I don't smoke and you offer me a cigarette, I say, you're being very discourteous. I've already told you I don't smoke, and I don't have to explain to you that I don't want to smoke. I don't have to explain to you that my father died of emphysema, and that my mother, who had to breathe this all her life, has lungs and cancer and all that sort of stuff. I don't have to tell you all that stuff. He said, I didn't ask you. And she says, well, never persist when I give you a statement. Always respect whatever my request is and what my values are. Well, you are great. And you are too. Because you instantly understand what I'm talking about. And you don't take offense by it. I can't push your buttons by checking out your values and making sure that your values and my values are the same. And that way we can go out and... But we're only going to the opera. No. We're spending an evening together. We're two divine beings spending an evening together. And every moment we talk to each other is a divine talk. Every word we speak to each other is a divine word. And every thought we have about each other is ideal. And then she turned to him and she says, you know, I am the ideal woman. And she says, I am always looking for the ideal man. And the ideal man doesn't come with a label that you can read, you know, just when he walks up to you. He's got it in his heart and soul. And so when I go to the opera with somebody, I have a chance to get to know their heart and soul a little bit. How do they respond to the values of the opera? Are they encouraging the bad guy to do things, or are they encouraging the good person to stand up for principle and really be good? You know, so I'm learning a lot, and it's very fascinating. Now, what about you? Are you learning anything by this relationship? He says, my God, he says, this is a total course in psychology, you know. And I know I can handle it because I've already had Psych 101 in college. Oh, you have? Where'd you go? Oh, and then they discuss their colleges, and they discuss other things and their values. But she, without being unkind, stood up for exactly where she stands. There's no discussion, there's no argument. She says, when we get married, we can go to bed. Well, how do you know we're going to get married? Well, you'll find out if we do, you know. And if we don't, you won't. Well, Bob-a-doo. Well, if you're just looking for a one-night stand or just looking for something to amuse yourself with, there's lots of girls out there that are looking for something to amuse them, too. Their values are on the base bottom, too. But my values are that I only have a relationship with someone I'm deeply in love with, deeply concerned with. And talking to you for the first 5 minutes now doesn't give me a chance to have deep values with you. But that's where I stand. Now, could you have a scenario like that in your life? Could you have a scenario like that as you talk to your man or your woman? Are you the ideal woman? Is any man in your world any man, the ideal man? You wouldn't have him in your world if he wasn't ideal like you are ideal. And if you have anybody in your world that's not ideal like you're ideal, then you're asking for trouble. You're asking for a lot of trouble. And it doesn't bring you anything good at all. So be very careful, because you are the ideal person. You are the ideal woman, the ideal man. You are the ideal person. And if you recognize that, then everything is a snap. Everything is easy. But if you don't recognize it, then you're fighting. Well, you got to be nice to him. You got to let him have his way in some things. You got to do this. No, you don't. When his ways, this sounds terrible, when his ways are your ways, then they're the right ways. When his ways are your ways, then they are the right ways. And if they are not truly your way, if he's doing it just to get your attention, then you know that real quick. You know that very well and very fast. So be very careful. Be very careful. Because many people are going to try to pull the wool over your eyes to get what they want. And what is that word? What's the word that defines that?
Manipulation.
Mm-hmm. And they do that. They do that. Now, we've seen some of our friends who are into hypnosis and other beautiful fields like that. And I think to myself, how wonderful. But you see, when you say hypnosis, you say otherness. At least that's my understanding. If you say self-hypnosis, or if you say self-encouragement or self-direction or self-motivation or something like that, then that's a different thing. Now, how do you motivate yourself? How do you motivate yourself to do anything? How did this girl motivate herself to have the values she had? Well, number one, she had the values. She got them from her family or her world, or she put them in practice herself. Maybe she went to the right church where they gave her values that were good, or took a course in psychology which gave her values that were helpful. You know, who knows? But she had the values, and she had values that were important to her. And so, how does she manipulate the men that come into her life to have the same values? She doesn't. She is a living example of what she believes. And so, as people come and ask her questions, she just forthright, right out front, says who she is and says where she stands and where her values are. Now, do you do that? Or do you try to make people feel good? We had the word before, compassion, compassion. And we've used that word, compassion. Now, think about it. If you're compassionate for a person, you are a rotten apple. A rotten, rotten apple. If you are compassionate for another person, you're a rotten apple. I'm so sorry for you. Oh, that's so bad. Oh dear, that's really bad. Do you think that helps one little bit? One tiny, teeny little bit? Not at all. Now, if you say to the person, oh, so, you lost your leg. What are you going to do next? And they'll say, well, I don't know. Well, you know, your leg will heal, and then they'll put a prosthesis on your leg, and you'll learn to walk with the prosthesis, and pretty soon you'll be walking just like you had never lost your leg, you know. Oh, but I will have lost my, I will have to be without it, and it'll be terrible. Well, hey, if you want to gripe and moan over something that can be remedied, you really get problems. Now, if you're dead, and you're unhappy about being dead, that's another story, you know. That's not my job either. But none of these things are my job. It's up to you, it's up to me, not to make a big federal case out of whatever we're facing, and not to have compassion about our creation. If you have compassion about the cats or the dogs or the people or the frogs, whatever you've met, if you have compassion for them, you have no blessing for them. You worry about them. Ellen, what's worry do? What does worry do? Worry brings what you have worried about. Okay. Is that clear enough?
Yes.
Was that what you were going to say?
Yes.
I thought so. Worry brings what you worry about. Compassion brings what you are compassionate about. Compassion brings sadness and feeling sorry for someone who's got a problem, and the problem exacerbates. You like that word, exacerbates? It grows and 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 grows. It grows, boom! Great growth, not just a little growth. Exacerbation is a great growth. Okay, now, who wants that? You know anybody who wants that? Problems to grow? What do you want? Bia, what do you want? You want problems to...
have a solution.
Problems to have a solution. Now, what did the ugly duckling say? And what did the other duckling say? Get out of town. Get out of town. And that's what we say to compassion and feeling sorry for yourself. Get out of town. Get out of town. You know? Just like Danny Kaye and, you know, remember what he was in? What was he in?
Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen. Yes. And the Ugly Duckling story. Get out of town. Now, that's a nice song, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so really, if you can realize that's what you say to anything that is not harmonious with your right action and peace. You see, Hans Christian Andersen, a.k.a. Danny Kaye, was sitting surrounded by these little children. Now, they're actors, and they're all paid to sit there and listen to him attentively and to be happy and joyous and jump up and down, and they did a good job. So they're sitting there, and it wasn't really too hard. I mean, they had an easy job because he told them this charming story, and you, as the audience, couldn't help but just sit there Google-eyed listening to him telling the story and thinking to yourself, what a charming story. What a beautiful way to tell it. So, you see, you're hypnotized. You're hypnotized by the beauty that he's sharing. Now, we're out camping, and it's the middle of the night, and so we're sitting around the campfire. Now, it's your turn to tell a ghost story. Now, it's your turn and tell ghost stories. And what are ghost stories? They're horror stories about terrible things happening, and the ghost comes out from behind. Oh, there it comes behind the tree! You know, and everybody, oh, you know, you get all hypnotized by the story that's being told. And as you're hypnotized by that story, you could be sure that there was a ghost behind that tree. You could be sure that in the middle of the night, you wake up and you hear a noise. Oh, is there a ghost? And you know such things exist only in your consciousness. Now, where else should they exist? In your consciousness. Now, do you want ghosts in your consciousness? Or do you want, whenever you open your eyes, there's light? Do you want, wherever you go, there's peace and harmony and right action? You know, what kind of ghost story do you tell? What sort of hypnosis do you do for yourself and others? Well, that's what this is all about. Anybody who teaches hypnosis is teaching you how to say beautiful things about yourself. Now, I say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole. Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. She, I know. You know. Yes, that's true. You know. Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect. And what happens? I keep saying, "Oh, Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect." Every time Ingeborg comes around, "Oh, Ingeborg, you're whole and perfect." And Ingeborg says, "My God!" Every time I ever come around her, he says, "I'm whole and perfect." And well, then pretty soon you start thinking, "Maybe I am." Now, I was walking the path the other day, and oh, my back really gave me a problem. And something was going on, I don't know what it was, but I had a lot of pains, and getting up and getting down was really tough. And then I said, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And I don't care how I had to get whole and perfect. I don't care what I had to do to get whole and perfect, but I'm whole and perfect. And I didn't do anything, but I just said, I'm whole and perfect. And I'm whole and perfect. And every day, as I said, I'm whole and perfect, I was more and more whole and perfect. Until after 2 days, I was absolutely whole and perfect. There were no more anything that would tell me that I wasn't. But I'm whole and perfect. And then I started to look for the pain. I thought, gee, I wonder if it's here or there or anywhere. And lo and behold, it came out. I said, oh, you looking for me? Thanks a lot, you know. And when you're whole and perfect, you cannot dwell on that which is not whole and perfect. And it's so important to keep yourself on top of things. Now, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to be whole and perfect
yes.
in every moment of your life?
Yes.
Are you ready to say, I am whole and perfect? I have no problems? Are you ready to say, I don't need any medicine, I don't need any of this? Don't say that. You say, I'm whole and perfect.
I'm whole and perfect.
Oh, it sure took her long left, didn't it? Yeah. All of you.
I'm whole and perfect.
Wow. Again.
I'm whole and perfect.
Again.
I'm whole and perfect.
Once again.
I'm whole and perfect.
Oh, you put the feeling in that last one there. So beautiful. Now, that's hypnosis.
Yeah.
And that's self-hypnosis. And now, when I say it, and Anita's sitting there listening to me, and she's thinking, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. She's thinking what I'm thinking and what I'm saying. I am hypnotizing her. And she thinks she's saying it to herself, but yet she knows that I'm the one who's saying it. Now, is that beautiful? Yeah. Does she have to have me do it? No. Does she like it when I do it? Yeah. So, what's the story?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And that's what the story is. That's what hypnosis is all about, and that's what you're all about. Now, there will be a lot of people who want to give me a great psychological and psychiatric opinion on what hypnosis means and what thought transference means and what all these things mean. And it's quite fascinating. But it's just a matter of your emotions. Now, in the Discovery magazine, there is an article about truth. And it says that to tell the truth, that is, to tell whether a person is telling the truth, is a very difficult thing. And your emotions get in the way as you're listening to them. Your feelings get in the way, and you sometimes miss the points. You miss the body language. You miss all these other things. Well, they have devices now that will record the body language. They'll record all of the mental attitudes that would say a person is lying or telling the truth. But they don't dare use it, because if you are hurting because you lost your cat, oh, my cat, and you're strong. Yes, I lost my cat, you know. And inside, you're just bubbling over with anxiety. And so they come and give you a lie detector test. Did you steal that house, you know, or something or other? And you say, oh my cat, oh my. And so they register your anxiety over the cat, not knowing it's the cat. Uh-huh. They can't tell.
Yeah, they can't,
they can't tell. And so they think that you are anxious over having been told you've stolen the house. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you did steal the house, but you did have a cat that gave you more anxiety than necessary. And so the test would be invalid and is invalid, and that's why they don't use it. And they had one man in Germany, his name was Hans-Peter Hoffmann. No, they had a man in Germany who was Hansi, you know, something. And he was exquisite, absolutely exquisite, so mellow, so harmonious, so wonderful in talking to people, that he would be on the golf course with people, talking to them, just in a conversation. And he would memorize everything that he chose to memorize, what their inflections were when he used certain words, and all these various other things that would help him. And when he got done, he memorized this all. He would go to his office, and he'd write these things down, and he'd have a perfect picture of that person's psychology. Now, how true it was, of whether they did or didn't, is, like I say, the cat and the house, you know. It makes it very difficult. But he was excellent. He was so excellent because the people he talked to had no idea they were being interrogated. They had no idea. They just flowed with him, so harmonious. And he was so adept at it. And he'd ask leading questions, and they'd never suspected he was asking leading questions because it was most natural to the conversation. And so, but anyhow, even with him, the top dog of all interrogators, and it's a good man, very nice man, everybody loved him and everything, it was invalid with him, because there were other thoughts that might be going through your head, other attitudes, and these attitudes would make the decision that was right or that was wrong incorrect, or at least not valid. Because, you see, Sylvia wasn't worried about her cat as much as she was worried about her mother who just died. And she was still with her mother in her consciousness, oh, Mom, you know, and then her cat has the problem. And so she transferred it to the cat, but actually it was still with her mother, you know, still the depth went way back into there. And so now she's a double zombie, or whatever you call it, because she had double jeopardy, if you will, of the two incidents taking place in her. So she would be totally unreliable to ask her a truth question, you see? Totally. Because she has two things that give her anxiety. Now, you, Sylvia, are sitting in the evening watching television, and you see this horror show, and anxiety, and then you turn off the horror show, then you turn on another horror show, the news broadcast, and you find out about people who were killed in car crashes and different things, and then when you're done with that, then you watch a horror movie, which is a love affair between the vampire and his sweetheart, you know. And you see, you get garbage, and what sort of a consciousness would be that? How would you respond to any type of questioning? You know, no way. Totally illogical. And this is true. But people, they feel they know it all because they've done it. But the courts won't allow it because the courts know that it is invalid. Now, you see, hypnosis is a very subtle thing. And Sylvia was being hypnotized by the cat, hypnotized by her mommy, hypnotized by the things she was watching on television, the news and what have you. And by the time you wrap it all up into a bundle, she's a... goes to bed. I can't sleep. I don't know why I can't sleep. You know, you heard of people like that? they can't understand why they can't sleep, and after giving themselves all that garbage, and then what does she do? She takes a pain pill, she takes a couple sleeping tablets, she takes a little baking soda, best thing she could do, and a bunch of other junk, and pretty soon she's a chemical mess inside too, you know. And you see, we want to live pure, beautiful lives. We want to be free of hypnosis. We want to hypnotize ourselves. And how do you be free of hypnosis?
By liking myself.
If you say, I like me, 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 hypnosis does not have a chance. It doesn't have a chance. You could be asked the most incriminating question, you know, why didn't you give your seat to that little old lady on the streetcar? Oh, I hadn't noticed a little old lady on the streetcar. Well, she was sitting right there, standing right there in front of you, wanting to sit down, and you didn't let her sit. Oh, really? I really hadn't noticed. Well, certainly, you were alive. You saw her. I'm sorry, but I didn't, you know. Well, Ingeborg, open your eyes, you know. And Ingeborg says, that was of no concern to me. That was not in my world. That was not in my life. That old woman's need to sit down, that's her business. If she needed to sit down and she needed help, she should have a bodyguard with her. And the bodyguard walks in and says, who's going to give this old lady a place to sit down? Now! And everybody jumps up. And the old lady sits down. But you see, we live in that world. We live in that world of confusion, and the world where we get all things boggled up. But when you are like Anita, and you want to go to the opera, and so you go to a young man and say, hey, I love opera. Do you like opera? Love it. And you mention a few things just to see if they really know what they're talking about. And then he says, yeah, opera's great. Well, how about going to the opera? I'll take you. You take me? Well, I invited you. Whoever invites the other has to pay the way, you know. But you're a girl. I should pay your way. Well, if you wish, that's okay. But I'm inviting you. And so you're coming or you're going? Well, I'm coming. I've never been out with a woman like you. Someone who really knows what they want to do and are good looking too, you know. So, be yourself. Be yourself. And it doesn't matter what the rules are or what the attitudes are. Now, Ellen, did you give the house rules to this woman? Well, I think that'd
be... I really forgot.
I know. Ellen, this is not a time for discussion of whether you forgot or didn't forget.
Well,
this is a matter of being on here. Now, did you give it to her? No. Then I would recommend
that
you put it on email, and not a lot of color, not color background and all that junk, just real nice words and so forth, and nicely done, and send it to her, and send it 6 times to her, Kara Daniel. That way Daniel will get it one of the times, you
mm-hmm.
know. But, you see, like we were talking the other day. Did we say yes?
To Gordy.
Huh?
Send them to Gordy, too.
Where that's him? The one we wanted.
Oh, Gordy's wife, yeah.
It was to Gordy.
Well, see how all of a sudden the truth comes out?
It was to Gordy.
And Sylvie had that buried away. Buried away deep in her archives. Beautiful. Okay. You can handle it? Okay. Now just remember, it's important. It's important to be your own master and not somebody else be your master. Because if anybody else is your master, what happens? You're their slave. Ha ha ha. Are you anybody's slave, Ingeborg? Hmm? Ingeborg, are you anybody's slave?
No, her.
Thank you, sweetheart. I was looking at Anita when I was talking to you, but it was your name I was using. And now, Anita, Yeah, are you anybody's slave?
Nope.
Oh, there you are. Oh, why not?
I'm my own master.
You follow your own path.
Yes.
And where does your path lead you?
Inside.
And what do you find there?
Magic.
Peace and harmony and goodness and magic and stuff like that. Good. Okay, beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, let your light shine. And let it shine in the most beautiful way by liking yourself. And you're the master. You're the master. Let it be yours. What's going on? Okay. So, enjoy it. And know that it's up to you what you want to do. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I have a couple seconds to go. I love you. I love you. I love you. 31 minutes. Okay.